Here's where I disagree with Seth on the offensive line. I'm in a panic over the fact that the Texans have yet to sign an offensive lineman other than re-signing Shontrell Henderson. I am actually okay with the interior of the offensive line. I am in a panic mode over the outside, over the tackle situation.
Yeah.
I can live with Kelametse, Martin, Fulton, Rankin competing, four guys for three.
Okay, this was my main thesis, which I said about 20 times in the last segment. I said there are zero good offensive linemen.
Correct.
You can get by. There are passable offensive linemen, and I would say I would agree with you. In the middle three there, if you had some good offensive tackle, if you had one good offensive tackle, it makes everybody else seem pretty a whole lot better than they actually are. But there's nobody that you look at on the offensive line and say, wow, that's a really good offensive lineman. I'm not saying even like all pro caliber or anything, but like, oh, maybe he'll make a Pro Bowl someday.
Well, here's what I think could happen. I believe there are two guys on this offensive line who could be good offensive linemen. Two guys. I still think Nick Martin could be good. I think Rankin could be good. That's my take. I believe those guys could be good, which is why I will live with the interior. Mm-hmm. But again, the outside is where I'm looking at this. Davenport, Henderson, basically nothing else to tackle.
Rankin.
If I want.
Kane says he's a two-spot guy.
And I'm looking at the Raiders spending money on Trent Brown and McClain saying in here on Wednesday, well, the money got too high on Trent Brown, and I'm thinking, okay, I guess he got $36 million guaranteed. And the Raiders, again, the Raiders are paying their quarterback way more than the Texans are paying their quarterback. And the Titans signed Roger Saffold, the guard from the Rams, who the Texans missed out on. The Titans are paying Marcus Mariota way more money than the Texans are paying Deshaun Watson. I think people have this wrong. People are looking at this like, they don't need to win free agency. A lot of teams who win free agency lose games. I get that. It's not about that. Here's what this is about. This is very important. This is critical. This is very important, I'm about to say. When you analyze what the Texans are doing, you need to compare what they are doing to teams with stars at quarterback on rookie contracts. It's not about winning in free agency. It's about what are teams doing with star quarterbacks on rookie contracts.
Right.
Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield. That's what you should be comparing what the Texans are doing, too.
This is where I'm gonna point out the flaw in your methodology and a lot of people who talk about the rookie pay window. You seem to think that you need to spend a whole lot of money right now on players who won't be here in several years because you have the cap space to do it. Where does that leave you in terms of cap space when it's time to pay that rookie quarterback? You have less of it.
Well, most of
Is there nothing to be said of kind of... Now, I'm not advocating not spending any money at all. Is there nothing to be said for saving cap space because it rolls over from year to year and having that cushion so that you can spend the entire way through? Like, that you don't have to make a huge splurge right now versus deadening it or dampening kind of the blow for when Deshaun Watson comes along and his contract comes along.
I don't mind your premise. I'm not going to sign guys just to sign them. I want to sign guys who they want, right?
Yeah.
Like based on the reporting that they wanted Roger Saffold, I imagine that means they wanted Roger Saffold. Here's my biggest counter argument. What do you think of the strategy, Seth, that the Rams, the Eagles, let me just stick with those teams because the Jets have not been successful. The Browns have yet to win. What do you think of the strategy the Eagles and the Rams have had with their young quarterbacks?
I like it, and it was a nice. When it works out, it's awesome. Is it going to work out for the? How has it worked out for the Eagles so far? Barring like the fact that if they hadn't made a Super Bowl, how has that worked out for them? Because in the year that they made the huge push for it, like they made a Super Bowl, they didn't win the Super Bowl. They won the Super. They made the Super Bowl, and the next year they don't make the playoffs. Like what? How?
Well,
is that basically you want a 1 year flash in the pan? There you go.
I think here's what it is. When you have a quarterback who's good, who's so cheap, it allows you to do things that you normally can't do.
Right.
That you can do luxurious things.
Okay.
So you can do things like signing a Roger Saffold or signing a Trent Brown, or even it doesn't even have to be other players. It can be, hey, you know what? We were completely sold on giving DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt big contracts. We're not quite as sold on Shadeveon Clowney, but damn it, he's one of the four most important people we have.
Yep.
So let's sign Clowney long-term because we can, and we can park a lot of money in the next 2 years because Deshaun is so damn cheap.
If you want, and what you want is just at least one move that shows they're using that space, because there is still that side of me, too. Like, do you want them to spend right up to the cap?
No.
Because that would come pretty quickly.
Agreed.
With a couple of big signings. Like, already just with your own re-signings and whatnot, you've got room for one big move. The Saffold, the Roger Saffold offensive guard signing is the one that would have been overspending for a guy his age and his talent level, but he would have been so far above and beyond better than the other guys on your team, on your offensive line, that it would have been worth it, in my opinion. Because you just need, you need at least one good veteran dude on that offense.
Yeah, someone to teach the youngins.
You're not going to get that, by the way, in the draft.
Nope.
You're still going to have a bunch of young guys that don't know what they're doing for the large part. Like, you're going to have guys tiptoeing around trying to act like, wait a second, should I block the safety? Should I block the linebacker? Oh, no, you know what? I'm just going to block nobody at all.
Exactly.
You see a whole lot of that.
Isn't it smart to have at least one guy that can tell any of these players what to do? You know, you have Mike Devlin fine as your coach. Maybe Bill O'Brien, his faith in Mike Devlin is actually warranted. But, hey, how about have somebody to help Mike Devlin? How about have somebody to help Bill O'Brien? You don't have that, and you're not going to get that likely now.
Well, they could still sign somebody who is a veteran.
Why, honestly, Mike, I'm going to speak for, I think, a lot of the fan base here. Like, why should I believe they're going to do that?
You shouldn't believe anything.
You know, I mean, because I think there are a lot of people right now that are just thinking, same old Texans, they're going into free agency, they're being very cautious, they're being very patient. And Deshaun Watson's still in his rookie contract,
yeah.
And that doesn't make a whole lot of sense the further and further you go into Deshaun Watson's rookie contract.
The thing that still concerns me the most is that, the right tackle there from the Jets that ended up with the Raiders, Mike, that started, that came through Houston. The guy that I hated.
Odey Abushi?
Yeah, Odey?
No, the right tackle, the veteran player that came from the Jets.
Oh, Breno.
Breno Giacomini, okay. Okay, the Breno Giacomini stuff, and I know that wasn't a Brian Gain thing, but it still to this day bothers me in that Bill O'Brien ever called him tough. Like, this is what drives me nuts, and I saw John Gruden do the same thing. That's what makes me worry and fear that Bill O'Brien doesn't know offensive linemen or what good ones are. Because Breno Giacomini wasn't tough. He did all the fake tough guy things. Like, he jumped on piles, he punched guys in the kidney, all those kinds of things. That's not toughness. Like, you know what's tough? Not getting your ass beat on bull rushes especially. That's tough. So I watch this, look, and this is my area of expertise. I know bad offensive linemen because during the week, I would try like hell to be sure I was matched up against those bad offensive linemen. That's how I played 10 years in the NFL, partly. I was like, hey, coach, you know what stunt we should run? The one where I basically end up on the bad guy. And then there you go, because that's easy. And, like, I watch this team, and I'm trying to figure out. It's a hard time figuring out who you want to go against. Because you're like, oh, I could beat this guy this way. I could beat this guy this way. Oh, wow. Any of these offensive linemen, all you have to do is stem your alignment a half second before the snap and you got three tackles for a loss in that game because they're clueless. They don't know what the hell they're doing. Like, it's that bad a situation. And I can't sit here and try to be nice about it anymore. It's a pathetic, awful, horrid situation, and that's what you have in front of your franchise quarterback. Like, it needs to be fixed. It needs to be addressed. Overspend to do it. You can be happy with winning the AFC South for how long? Like, how long is that going to sustain you? Is it worth sacrificing Deshaun Watson's kidneys? I think not.
Mike, Seth, and Paul on a Friday. Let's move to a more positive subject here. Which moves should the Texans have made in this week of free agency? We have a list of some of the signings. Seth and I both felt like, hey, the Ravens signing Earl Thomas, he got $32 million guaranteed. That's the kind of move that we would have made. And signing him. I'm fine with Deshaun Gibson from the Jaguars, who the Texans signed a few days ago. I like that move. I think he'll help out against tight ends. But I don't think the Earl Thomas contract is an outrageous deal. I would have done that contract.
I would have done it. It presents some problems in terms of, all right, the development of your young Justin Reed safety. But those are rich folks' problems. I've learned to try not to worry too much about rich folks' problems. Like, oh, wow, well, is that an ideal fit with Justin Reed? Because do you want Justin Reed playing more strong safety? Sure, why not? He's a young star.
I think he can play either safety position.
Oh, no, he can play. Well, and everybody's a hybrid now. Like, Earl Thomas is more of a pure true safety as of old, but he's even become more versatile as their scheme changed up there in Seattle. Like, the notion of free safety versus strong safety is largely an antiquated one.
I feel the same way. And Earl Thomas makes your cornerbacks better, I think, because that's just somebody who is going to do what he does best, which is just react instinctually to what he sees the quarterback doing. And that is somebody, okay, you bring him in, that helps your entire secondary out, and it makes you have, I think, a little bit less pressure on what you have to do at cornerback going forward, because you still need to find some bodies at the cornerback position. Some of the other names, guys, Tevin Coleman, it was one in particular when I saw him sign for 2 years and I guess less than $10 million
right.
with Oh, shoot.
San Francisco.
The 49ers.
Yep.
Oh, man, really? Like, they think that Lamar Miller and the unknown of Deontay Foreman is that much that they can put their marbles on the table and say, yeah, we're good. We're fine.
That's not what they think. I think they and a lot of other teams in the league think that you can find the Kareem Hunts of the world. Hopefully the non-abusive Kareem Hunts, in the second, third, and fourth round. The problem is that 25 teams are thinking that way.
Yes.
There aren't 25 viable running backs out there in the mid rounds this year.
And I've heard Mike say this for like 2 years, you know? I've heard Mike say, well, you can find a running back in the third or the fourth round.
Yes.
And you know, you're right. You can.
You know who else you can find? The guys whose names I can't remember because they never made it in the league.
Like Tyler Irvin, for example.
Oh, yeah, Tyler Irvin. You think somebody else, is anybody else anywhere in the league being like, well, you know, you can find a Tyler Irvin in the fourth round.
Well, speaking of this, so you guys are mentioning Tevin Coleman, who didn't sign for much. What do you think about this? I am looking right now on a Friday morning at 7:29. I am staring at my computer. I'm looking at Le'Veon Bell's contract with the Jets. And I'm gonna be real simple here, real simple, okay? I'm going to make this very, very simple. Le'Veon Bell's cap hit this year is $8.5 million. His cap hit the following year is $13.5 million. The Jets can get out of this deal in 2 years and save themselves $11 million off the cap. Is this the kind of move that you could have made because it matches up exactly with Deshaun Watson being cheap?
Yes!
You could have. But now with, all right.
That's the kind of move they could have made.
The problem with Le'Veon Bell, you were talking about Le'Veon Bell.
Yes.
The problem with Le'Veon Bell, as opposed to Earl Thomas, is that I know I'm going to get relatively the same type of production and performance out of Earl Thomas unless he gets injured. Le'Veon Bell, I'm not so sure. That's why paying big
money.
Totally
fair.
Paying big money for running backs, especially like Le'Veon Bell, Paul, that has a track record of not being a smart move.
True. But it
just flat out does.
No, like, you're right.
You're rolling the dice there. It might work out. It might be like Curtis Martin, but more times than not, it ends up being a huge disappointment.
But it's not big money, you know? Like, he ended up getting a contract less than that of Todd Gurley.
Because it's less than Todd Gurley, it's not big money. It's big money for a running back.
I think it's pretty reasonable for a guy that at the very least you can, I think, rely on to have 300 touches a season. I at least, you know, whether it's receiving and running, whatever he does, you can get that out of him. And I thought he would end up signing for more. And the Jets of all teams signed him, and the Jets were the only team that was apparently interested in him.